Susie Jones is a reporter in Minneapolis. She has been following the Derek Chauvin trial. I asked her just before the show to give us a summary of the closing arguments from the two sides.
Yeah, they were diametrically opposed, that's for sure, because they both stood very firm in their own positions, that prosecution saying that George Floyd died of a low oxygen level because Derek Chauvin had his knee on his neck for 9 minutes, 29 seconds. He probably said that word, that time, John, several times. He also played a tape where he told the jurors again, George Floyd was saying on the ground with his face in the ground, in the pavement, I can't breathe. He said 27 times during that 9 minutes and 29 seconds. So really bringing home their main argument that it was low oxygen levels due to the knee on his neck, reiterating some of the probably the most powerful testimony of the trial, John, and that was Dr. Martin Tobin, that it was low oxygen levels and not drugs or a bad heart that killed George Floyd. Mm-hmm. Then the defense took over. And I want to just interject here real quick, John. This was a long day for jurors. The prosecution's argument took 1 hour and 45 minutes. Then the defense started, and he took 2.5 hours. At one point, the judge, it was so long that people were just kind of losing focus, everybody, including reporters, with detail after detail of the presentation, and the judge interrupted him mid-sentence. I mean, just cut him off, said, we're done, we're going to have lunch.
It's interesting to me that the judge would do that, because maybe this was a bad strategy on the defense's part, but you get the feeling they are so desperate to make every last claim for Chauvin's innocence in this case,
yeah,
that they're throwing everything against the wall, and that the judge would interrupt that midstream makes it sound as though it wasn't as effective as the defense was hoping. The judge wasn't so compelled that he thought, skip it, we'll have lunch now. That's a damning observation about what the defense was presenting.
It seemed to be an admonishment by the judge. And, you know, he has done that before in case, you know, he has at different times in this trial just abruptly ended things. You know, he did that, remember, with the firefighter. But the defense did get his point across, I think, whether they fell on tired ears or open ears. And that was just that, John. Every single piece of possible question mark came up, from the drugs, from what the level of drugs were, that his neck didn't have any substantial, like, indication that it had been injured, that his, you know, just every single piece, his heart and how the size of his heart, and Hennepin County Medical Examiner, he basically did go against the state's case in what he found in that autopsy report. The rebuttal was Jerry Blackwell, who is just an amazing prosecutor to watch. And the last thing he said, John, was the defense is going to want you to believe that George Floyd had an enlarged heart, a big heart. It was too big. And he said, I want you to know that Derek Chauvin's heart was too small. That's where we are. 6 hours of closing.
So he says to Derek Chauvin, or to the jury, about Derek Chauvin, but his heart was too small. Did he then say he was a mean one, Mr. Grinch?
And no, he did not.
Was that effective, I guess, is what I'm wondering?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was sort of the mic drop.
Deliberations continue today. We don't know when they're going to return with a verdict. I should tell you, Susie Jones, in Minneapolis, that here in Chicago, the National Guard is at the ready. They'll be deployed later today, pending the results of this trial. I presume you have a similar presence in Minnesota?
Yes, except for we have since March 8th. I mean, the thing about Minneapolis right now is it's just completely boarded up, right? I mean, that's happened in the last week, where every single business downtown is completely boarded up, no matter how close or far it is from the courthouse. It was interesting yesterday, Matt Langer, who is the state patrol chief, he got emotional because he didn't know what they were doing in terms of how to manage crowds when it comes down to, you know, interacting with people who are angry and enraged. He was sort of emotional, and he said, you know, we need your help. We need to talk to you, the protester, to say, how can we do this together? How can you be furious and we not need to arrest you?
Interesting line that the police are trying to navigate there, isn't it? That's Susie Jones, a reporter in Minneapolis, a friend of ours, and she's been real helpful just giving us the first-person view of the trial. She was there every day. Rich Lenkoff is an attorney in Chicago and a partner at Bryce Downey & Lenkoff. You hear his Legal Face-Off podcast on WGNRadio.com. Rich, what did you hear in that conversation? What are you thinking about on that this morning?
Well, it's an excellent, thanks, John, for having me. It's an excellent reminder of what both sides try to do in closing arguments. And as Susie mentioned, it's basic. It's really basic. The state, the prosecutors, try to tell the jury, keep it simple. Believe your eyes. It's all in front of you. The defense, on the other hand, says the opposite. It's not simple. Don't believe what you see in front of you. It's not as simple as the state is trying to say. And there's many other factors that you don't see, right? We heard Eric Nelson talk about the length of the video, that you didn't see the entire video. So it's very much a game of distraction. And it's no coincidence that Eric Nelson went as long as he did and that the jurors were tired of hearing what he was saying, because that's the entire strategy. You're trying to throw as much at them as possible, confuse them to an extent, and, you know, let the reasonable doubt seep in somehow. So he did an effective job, I think, in doing that.
Because only one person needs to be sufficiently befuddled that they say, well, maybe there's something there, right? You only need one.
Right. Maybe the causation isn't as the state is saying. Maybe all I have to think about is whether the enlarged heart or whether the drug use had some causative factor. That's all you need. So he's trying to put everything on there, on that jury wall, see if it sticks. And I think he did a pretty good job of it. Whether that will carry the day, who knows? I don't think so. I think ultimately we're getting a conviction, but I think both sides did a pretty good job yesterday.
You said ultimately you think we're getting a conviction. Is it true the longer the jury's out, the more likely he's found not guilty?
You know, who knows? I mean, those things. Either side could always explain the length of the deliberations to their favor. I mean, that is conventional wisdom, but you never know. I mean, I've had trials where juries have been out a very short period of time, and I thought they were, you know, going one way, and they didn't go that way. So you would think that the longer they are discussing things, yes, that favors the defense, because it's easy to make a quick decision based on the video. Mm-hmm. And the longer they're deliberating, they are considering all of the defense arguments. So that is conventional wisdom, but you never know until you're in that room.
It's 9:55 with Rich Lenkoff. 309 texted in to say, what about what Maxine Waters said? Did that get mentioned? I don't believe it got mentioned in the courtroom. I did talk to Susie Jones about that off the air. Maxine Waters said that maybe we need to turn up the heat if we don't get a conviction here. She was in town for that. What a stupid thing for her to say. There's enough fuel. There's enough fire. We don't need any extra piling on here on the dynamics. She should keep out of that. That's my view. By the way, Scott in Florida wanted to ask a question or make a comment. Scott, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Williams. Thank you for taking my call. You know what scares me? Whatever the result of the Derek Chauvin trial may be, horrific race riots will explode across America. I'm talking about what went on in the 1960s in places like Watts in Los Angeles, Chicago, etc. Talking about Chicago, I don't need to tell you that already there's been an explosion of blacks killing blacks. So the Chauvin trial will literally push Chicago over the abyss.
Okay, hold on a second. I appreciate your call. I get what you're saying. I don't know that it's going to be that explosive. We've been to this dance before. But, yeah, we worry about it, and that's why buildings are boarded up and the National Guard are on the ready. Rich, your last 20 seconds on that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's always a danger that this verdict either way will enrage certain factions. That is an unfortunate fact of life. But on Maxine Waters, I don't think what she said will lead to a mistrial. I think that, you know, what she said is consistent with what many people are saying, and I don't think that's grounds for a mistrial.
Nice to talk to you, Rich. Let's visit later this week, maybe when we know a little more.
Thanks, John.
Rich Lenkoff is a partner at Bryce Downey & Lenkoff. WGN Radio News in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is next.